we have some presentations. These are like mini TED Talk presentations. So these guys are getting groomed to be able to do TED Talks. So everybody got 10 minutes to tell you a really cool story about a client that they worked with and some strategies that they used for that. You ready? All right, and there's going to be a wide variety, and two of our people are coming in on the screen. So do we have, we have Valerie and Lisa coming in, because they couldn't be here. One is in Switzerland, so, and I'm going to go like kind of like that. And are they coming in? Oh, yay. There's Lisa, and there's Valerie. Awesome, awesome. I'm so excited to introduce them to you, but I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. So both of them are in our NEPT program. Valerie's been there for 2 years. Lisa was one of our very first members, and she's one of our head coaches, and Valerie's one of our coaches in our ERC program. So Valerie's going to start and tell us just a little story.
Good afternoon. So I joined Dr. Rita Marie's community because I was frustrated, stuck, tired, searching for support that would allow me to learn how to build, grow, and maintain my own successful functional health and wellness practice. I went to school for nursing to help people, but what I saw and still see is a revolving frequent flyer, people on the merry-go-round of being prescribed medications, various treatments, but getting worse instead of getting better. Some even dying, my dad included. He died in the year 2000 with complications of type 2 diabetes. In 2016, I resigned from my 25-year position as a nurse.
Can you take the chat down, please?
And I did that to pursue my burning desire to truly educate people how to live healthy. I had studied with several other health and wellness professionals, acquired more knowledge, but I wanted to be able to truly develop my skills to practice. I learned about Dr. Rita Marie while working with a colleague and friend and began attending some of her webinars, and I was so drawn to her, her style of education, and her true authenticity. I joined her grand program to help better my own health, but I still didn't feel satisfied just learning. I still felt like something was missing and that I needed more. I continued the grand program, but then I upgraded to the clinical mastery of digestive system. It was wonderful. So now I was learning how to use what I had learned as a practitioner and not just as a consumer. As time went on, I learned of her SHINE, Scientific Holistic Investigation of Nutritional Endocrinology Conference in 2017, Food is Medicine, but it was in Austin, Texas. And at the time I learned about it, it was only a couple of weeks away. I didn't have the resources or the time to make the preparations to be on the trip, and I really wanted to attend. I didn't have the resources, but then I learned of the opportunity to attend virtually, and it was so affordable. November the 4th, I remember Dr. Rita Marie's offering to join her program. I so wanted to enroll, but honestly, I didn't have the finances to do it. $16,497, yet at the same time, I knew this is exactly what I'd been looking for. I'm thinking, how can I afford this? I hadn't even finished paying off the CMDS program. So I reverted to what I always do when I want to do but don't have the resources. I prayed, and I decided that I would sleep on it, literally. And if this excitement was gone in the morning, then I would have known this isn't for me. I talked it over with my mother and my pastor for support and guidance. November the 5th, the final day of the conference and the last opportunity to enroll at this price. I was so antsy. I briefly spoke with Lynn and was directed to talk with Scott. Long story short, I put down $997 to hold my spot. I still had no clue where the money was coming from, but I just couldn't pass this up. I took the next step and enrolled into NEPT. I registered and felt such a connection. I literally started crying. I had received a certification and degree in natural health, certifications in herbalism, nutrition, and nutritional therapy, but was not truly able to develop my skills and practice what I had invested in. Roaming from practitioner to practitioner, seeking opportunity to develop and grow, now I found my tribe. Now, I'm expanding my comfort zone, building my confidence to take the next step, overcoming fear and procrastination, developing my business and nutritional wellness skills, creating package and program guides, getting coaching experience with her veteran coaches, learning how to speak and say key phrases at key moments, and be authentically me. So I told myself, stop roaming. If you are concerned about how to make it all happen, I encourage you to stop. If you want to build a practice, develop your skills, change the look and the feel of healthcare, this is the community for it to happen. I've learned to tell myself, if you change nothing, nothing will change. So if you're ready to commit to fulfill your passion and profit, step into this light and choose to shine.
Whoa. I'm going to tell you something quick about Valerie. So she's very coachable. So she was telling me how she was going to be doing this class at her church and invited some people to learn about digestive health, and she was going to offer them a little program to join her afterwards. And she went and she did it, and I asked her afterwards, how did it go? And she said, I said, how many people signed up? She said, all of them. And I'm like, I don't know anybody else that gets 100% of the people in a program. So she just, she's, as you can tell, she has so much heart and soul. And she's coaching in our ERC program this year, and we're so excited to have her. And she's available for those of you on live stream, chat with her, because she's amazing. She's going to be available to you on the chat for the next couple of hours. So I want to introduce Lisa. And Lisa is she's been a nutritionist for the last 20 years or so in Switzerland, and private clients and all, and I just want her to share a case. She's going to share a case and some tips for you in cardiometabolic area. Okay, so Lisa, take it away, and anything else you want to share with them. Lisa's muted. Can you unmute her? Oh, she has to do it? Oh, she is. Is she frozen? Lisa, talk. Uh-oh. Lisa? Hello?
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to find my...
There you go. We hear you now.
Okay, I'm... Am I frozen? Oh, can you see me?
Yes.
I'm talking. Can you hear me?
Yes. But we see, is there a way to get it so that her slides are not, usually it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, she's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
But her slides are over.
I'm so here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm sharing my screen. Can you see my screen?
Yes. Maybe you can turn off the view, just show the slides. Yeah, there you go. Super. Okay, Lisa. We're trying technology. We're really trying to take you to people like around the world. Doesn't always work so well. She's talking, right? No? Lisa. Now you can text her. Chat her.
Okay, great. So everybody can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so shall I start or?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I already introduced you. You might not have heard me introduce you, so just.
I am.
Okay, talk.
I'm talking.
Okay, good. So we'd love to hear your presentation.
Okay, we're on a big delay.
Oh. Okay, so we'll stop talking. Go ahead and you start. A time lag?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about a case. All right, there's a delay going on with the time. Okay. All right.
Can you mute me from?
You've been talking a lot in the conference about the root cause approach. Oh, this isn't working.
We hear you.
Okay, so I have a case, and the person, okay, so we've been talking a lot about the...
Is she hearing herself echo back? Make sure that you're muted there on our, so she doesn't hear us for now, so she doesn't get
okay,
feedback.
Okay, so I'll continue. All right, so in naturopathic medicine, and we're nutritionists, but... Right, so, yes, that's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. I'm hearing myself echo back. All right, so I think that's, okay, so we've been, okay, I'll start again. We've been, in naturopathic medicines, or they have a term called tole causam, which means find the cause. And that's what we've been talking about, which is the root cause approach. So really to support a person, we have to identify symptoms and not just undercover, not just to identify symptoms, but to look at and discover underlying root causes to really be able to help somebody. So the person I'd like to tell you about is a person called Clyde. He's a 52-year-old male, and he's slim and normal BMI, and he's married, with his second wife, two children, a 16-year-old and a 6-year-old. He had a history of high cholesterol and hypertension. And his cholesterol was under control, but his BP, his blood pressure fluctuates despite being on meds. And he's a smoker. He reduced to 3 to 5 a day. He keeps fit. He thinks of himself as athletic. He swims daily, walks a lot, and he skis and cycles. He lives in Switzerland, and he sleeps 7 to 8 hours a day. He's a banker, an investor, and his life revolves around his family, and he thinks of himself as happy. And he realized that he was quite sensitive to stress, and so he made major changes in his life in order to reduce his stress. He works from home, and he reduced his travel. And I asked him, how would he have rated his stress level? And he said 3 months previously he would have rated it as 8 or 9 on a scale of 0 to 10, but now it was 4 or 5. And he describes his diet as healthy, which is mostly home cooked, animal-based, veggies and fruits, and lots of dairy. So that's his basic diet. But it's not processed or anything like that. But it's just normal kind of diet, not a sad diet, but just like a normal diet. He drinks wine in the evening, 3 to 5 glasses a day. He drinks no coffee, and he drinks green tea or mint tea, and he drinks about 2 to 3 liters of water daily. So he had, about a year before he consulted me, he started to have diverse symptoms of bloating, constant pain in the stomach, chronic diarrhea, and decreased energy. And he went to various doctors and alternative practitioners, and he received various diagnoses, including candida and allergies, and he followed some kind of anti-candida diet. And at some point, he was taking up to 70 supplements. So he consulted me because despite all the various treatments, and they were doctors, so they were able to treat him, the stomach issues and the underlying pain hadn't changed. And he wanted to know what to eat, and he kept developing intolerances and reactions to food, and he wanted to get his health back on track and have optimal energy. But he didn't know what was going on, and nothing was really helping him much is what he said. And he wanted to know himself better and be more conscious and strategic. And he also said because he was really not feeling well, he was going to go to the university hospital and do some more lab workup. So meanwhile, we were going to get started with the program, just a 3-session program where I was just going to do an analysis of everything he had done before and to see where there were gaps for the testing. But before we could get started, I was informed by his wife that he had had triple bypass surgery and that the nutrition support would have to wait. And then 6 months after his bypass surgery, he had to have stents put in due to buildup of plaque. So he contacted me a year later, and he wanted to work on reducing the plaque in his arteries and have more energy. So I think of myself as a health detective. And so how do you know how to support the person if you don't really know what the problem is? And so that's where the detective work comes in. And that's what we learn at at NEPT, at INE, is we have a system in order to look at things and how we identify things. And we identify and we correct functional imbalances, and we remove what may be contributing to these imbalances, any pathogenic influences, any disease-causing influences, and then we promote health and longevity. So it's really a systematic way of looking at a person, at their issues, and identify their imbalances, stabilize the imbalances, and remove the issues that may be causing problems, and improve the body's resistance by promoting healthy choices. So what kind of testing did I do? So I was supposed to be looking for underlying factors that contribute to plaque formation. So I did a CBC with a full lipid profile, fatty acid testing, organic and amino acid tests, a stool test, and a comprehensive adrenal profile. I use the Dutch test now, but at that time I was using the adrenal test, and some looked at some genes as well. He didn't want to do a 23andMe, so I just asked for some cardiovascular related genes when we did the blood test. So first, so I was looking for, you know, what is causing this buildup of plaque? So after bypass surgery, you know, and they have him on cholesterol meds, his plaque is still being built up to the point where he had to have stents put in. So looked at his adrenal stress test, and he has high cortisol readings. And so there's a link between stress and cardiovascular disease, and this may be also contributing to his uncontrolled high blood pressure. But is it contributing to this incredible buildup of plaque? So there's compelling evidence that chronic stress can increase LDL cholesterol, but it could be contributing to his dyslipidemia, but I don't think it was the whole picture. Then part of this adrenal stress profile is a measure in the saliva, the secretory IgA. And this is an antibody that protects against infections of the mucous membranes. And usually I see it very low, but in this situation, it was really high. So if the range goes to 212, his range was over 1,000. And that told me immediately there's some kind of activation of the immune system going on. It's some kind of acute inflammatory response, nonspecific. I don't know to what. So then we looked at the gut test. And this is the summary of the test. And it showed that he had an infection, he had parasites, he had inflammation. The EPX was elevated. This is insufficiency. This is, he was fine here. He had enough pancreatic enzymes and was breaking down his proteins and fats. And then he had not enough beneficial bacteria. So you could see here he had plenty of bacteria, but the diversity was low. So this is compared to a healthy population. And his diversity was low. But you know, and here are the inflammatory markers. The GI effects from Genova has measures these three inflammatory markers: calprotectin, EPX, and fecal secretory IgA. And only the EPX was high. And so the salivary secretory IgA that was high, that was then not due to what was going on in the colon. Okay, so the colon is okay. So the infection or the inflammation was elsewhere. And then we measured also as part of the GI effects is the zonulin. Now, zonulin is a protein that is produced by the cells that line the digestive tract. And this is a way of looking to see if somebody has leaky gut. And there's we talk a lot about the brain and gut axis. Well, there's also a heart gut axis. And there's a big role that the gut microbiome plays in the pathogenesis of heart disease. And so the gut microbiome has been identified as a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And there are many different mechanisms. And one of them is that the bacteria through, they translocate, they go through the tight junctions and enter the system. And they cause a state of what they call metabolic endotoxemia, not to use too many words, but it basically is a link between gut bacteria and toxins. And this is very much related to cardiometabolic disorders. So, you know, okay, so he has high zonulin, so this is contributing to intestinal permeability or leaky gut, but is this driving these plaque levels? That may be contributing to them, but is it driving this high level?
So, Lisa, I'm gonna interrupt you here. Because we're kind of running out of time, and it sounds like you have a little ways to go. So that we don't get behind on the rest of the presentations, what I'm going to suggest, if you can do it, and we'll put it out to everybody, if we can do a webinar on Zoom after Shine and really take the time to go into this and then also have some time for questions so you can help people with questions. And if you don't, if there's a like a summary that you can lead us to, like, you know, because we don't, we like to know the endings. Like, what was the process with him? You know, did he do what you told him to do? Did he get better? Did he get worse? Did he die? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he got better. I found out what was driving the the plaque levels. It was LP little A, and his cardiologist hadn't measured it. And he decided to have, we changed his diet. We put him on a plant-based diet, or I put him on a plant-based diet, because he had a lot of genes that were predisposing him to cardiovascular disease. And here's the summary slide of the genetics. It showed that he has, he has high LP little A, which is genetic, and then he has a very high risk for cardiovascular disease.
Awesome. So how is he doing now? Because I don't want to run past this because I really want them to understand this piece. So how about if we'll go through that? But bottom line is, where's he at now? Did he follow through with the plant-based diet? Did he change it? And how's he doing now?
Yeah, his LPA are down. They're lowered from 1,324 to 235.
Those are really hard to lower, so good job.
He reduced his stress. And what helped me deal with the complexity of this, which seemed complex, is starting with the basics, looking at blood sugar, looking at digestion, looking at the various pieces until I could put it, together. And then we have, and then helping think about it in terms of, creating an environment of healing, which is what you call the Body Freedom Foundations. That's
awesome. Great job. Lisa is like one of the top lab analysis people in our program, and she's like really good with this. So I don't want to cut you guys short, but I also don't want us to get behind like we did yesterday. So Lisa, thank you so much. And we'll coordinate a time where you can do that fully. Yay! Thank you, Lisa. And thank you also for staying up so late. It is way past her bedtime. It is, midnight now or close to it, in Switzerland where she lives. So I really appreciate you doing this. All right. So we're going to stay on time, and you're going to hear some amazing stuff. And our next person is Annette, and I'm going to let Annette just take it away, and because I don't want to spoil any of her punchlines, which I tend to do sometimes because I know everybody's story and then I ruin it for them. Like, they don't get to have the impact. Yeah, the clicker.
Am I on? I don't know that I'm on.
Yeah. Okay, the yellow mic, is it on? Let's give everybody a mic, too, so that we don't have to have a delay. And yeah, you guys, and then you can pass them down. All right, so turn Annette's mic on, please. Yeah?
So, Scott, am I ready? Where do I point to?
It's not working.
Okay, well, I'm Annette. I've been in the program 3 years. I can kind of wing it. Louder? Okay. I'm Annette. I've been in NEPT 3 years now. I was asked to talk about Eat and Cover, and I had really pretty slides, but that's okay.
Can we get our slides up?
Eat and Cover is what diabetics are taught. That's the way they're taught to eat. And this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because I'm the mom of a type 1 diabetic. Type 1 is the autoimmune version. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. She had been traveling. She got sick. She was sick for 5 months. She came home from school at the end of her junior year. We got home on Sunday. She was sick. Tuesday, the doctor said, it's a virus. Go home and rest. And Wednesday, my daughter was non-responsive, so we took her to the hospital. She spent 3 weeks in the hospital. She was unconscious the first week. She was in a coma for about 3 days. Her blood sugar at time of admittance was 635. So my kid finally wakes up, and she had her first dialysis treatment in ICU, and the next day we were moved upstairs. And we're all kind of spacey and loopy because we've had this really bad week. And an RD comes in and starts talking to us about our life going forward with food. And she just assumed, oh, there I am. I don't need that. Yeah, we don't need that. Thank you. I know.
There
oh,
we are.
Really? I have to stand up
yeah,
now?
Yeah, you can stand
okay.
up.
Okay, so that's my type one. That's us together. There's only two pictures of my daughter taken in the hospital. This is one of them. The other picture is also dialysis. That's actually her blood. I would not take pictures. I refuse to let pictures be taken of her. The doctors were preparing us for my child to die. So I didn't want to see them if she did die, and I didn't want her to see them if she lived. So we'll jump ahead to the RD. She assumed we ate the standard American diet, and she came in and she told us that we could eat just like we always had. We just take extra insulin. She'd have her basic insulin that she had to take, and then she would take extra for her food. This is called eat and cover, and diabetics are taught this all the time. Eat whatever you want. You can have that pizza, even though it's a couple hundred carbs. You're just going to take a bunch of extra insulin to cover it. My daughter likes to use this analogy. If you have a nut allergy, no nuts. Dairy allergy, no dairy. Click. Okay, diabetes is essentially, in very basic, simple terms, a sugar and carb intolerance. Everything, I am not a diabetic, everything in that picture would spike me, and it definitely would her. Diabetics, like I said, are not told to reduce those foods. So it's like telling someone with a nut allergy, eat that nut.
Take Benadryl.
Yeah, yeah, except this case it's take insulin. I'm gonna remember that, that was good. This was so weird to us. We didn't eat this way. Okay, yeah, I'm Italian, we ate a lot of pasta. But we had to have a starch and carbs, a lot of carbs at every meal. So we tried it. We couldn't do it. We were absolutely miserable. About this time, I was like, okay, we can't do this. We'd switch back to our cleaner way of eating. But I had a lot of questions. I had holes. I needed to fix my kid. Just by switching her food back to our normal diet, she was able to, with the endocrinologist blessing it and guiding it, she was able to totally wean off her long-acting insulin. She's only on short-acting. So while I was searching, that's how I found Dr. Rita Marie. And I went, oh, this is it. I have to go. So at the time, I had followed my daughter to Birmingham so she could finish college. And I got in my car. And I drove from Birmingham to here because I was also house shopping because I was moving here. But the whole trip, I'm like, not signing up for anything, not signing up for anything. I can't afford this. I don't have the money. I'm just going to go learn things. I'm going to go learn. It was home testing or self-testing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The perfect one.
So I sat in a room like this. It was actually down the hall. And I was very impressed with what I was hearing. And I stepped out, and I called my daughter, and I'm like, what do you think? And she goes, oh, yeah, go for it. So I was one of the first people back at the table. I probably knocked someone over getting back there, and I'm sorry if that was you. And my enrollment conversation was basically, I sat down across from Lynn, and I'm like, NEPT, I'm signing up. I can't afford it. She went, okay. And I went and I spoke to Scott. meanwhile, as I go back to Alabama and I'm packing and moving, my child isn't taking care of herself. Diabetes burnout. It's normal. A lot of diabetics go through it. She was avoiding lab work. She wasn't monitoring herself properly. I knew from what I was learning here that my kid was in trouble just by the things she would say. I was asking her, are you testing postprandial? No. No, Mom. I test 6 to 10 times a day. I know what my blood sugar is. I go, okay, so out of a 24-hour period, you know like 10 minutes what your blood sugar is. Mom, I've got this. I'm fine. I'm like, but I'm studying. Let me tell you what I learned today from Dr. Rita Marie. And she'd be like, okay. My daughter finally consented because I threatened to cut off money. I threatened to stop paying for insulin, sorry. I was like, I'm not paying if you don't go get your lab work. And this was in June, and this is pretty much what I did after I looked at her blood work. She had a doctor's appointment in 2 weeks, and because of what I learned, I could read the blood work, and I knew my kid was in trouble. My kid was hospital bound again. So I get on a plane, and I went to Birmingham, and we had quite the discussion. And we talked about all the damage my daughter was doing. And the thing that got her most was the glycated red blood cells, because you had just taught that. And I'm like, oh, let me tell you what's happening inside your body. My daughter actually kicked me out of her apartment that night. She was crying, and she said, you must leave now. So I went back to my hotel. The next day, she showed up in my room, and she asked. She said, I need a Dexcom. So again, with all of these great tools she has, with what I've learned here, she's still weaning down on her insulin. We've also talked a little bit, and you've heard some of it here, the side effects. When they tell these kids, eat that pizza, take 10 extra units to offset the glucose, the carbs, there's all these horrible things. That fat necroses are those that get like a buildup of scar tissue because they're always poking in the same place, or the pump's been there too long. You can actually die from insulin. You can become allergic to it, and there's lots of people that happens to. You can also, it actually said one of the first side effects on the insert is hypoglycemia, which is when you go too low and you can go to a seizure, you can coma and die. So every day we're walking a very thin line, but thanks to you, my baby's still alive.
Yay.
This is pretty much how we eat now, and that's probably one serving of Brussels sprouts for us. We would eat that whole pan. We do eat clean source meat. We're, like you said, very few berries, almost no fruit, because it just spikes us. It's not worth the extra insulin. This was taken a few months after she got her act together, and she listened to me and got the Dexcom and got things back under control. But if I hadn't found this program, that picture may never have happened, because she was definitely going back to the hospital. Mm. So that's it. I get it done in under 10 minutes.
Look at that.
Thank you.
Latest A1C readings.
Oh. Okay. So, we do a lot of home A1C testing because we're that weird. And she was in August, her A1C on a home test was 4.8. 2 weeks ago, it was 4.5. So.
Okay, type 1 diabetic, this is unheard of, right? And I also wanted to say, too, what you said. So her daughter had this, she was sick. She was, and it was viral-like, and what Annette had said on a talk, she gave a presentation to our ERC group, and she said, you know, every household, just like every household has a thermometer, and when someone feels ill, you take their temperature, right? Every household should have a blood glucose meter.
That's right.
And every doctor, when somebody comes in with any kind of complaints like that, should be testing that person's blood sugar.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for someone who's 20 years old to end up in the hospital with a 600 blood sugar and nobody to have picked that up before. Just run a standard blood panel when somebody comes in sick with a CBC and chem screen just to see what's going on, right? So this is what's happening in there, and I'm, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Allie.
Hello. Is that working?
Yes.
Slides? Hello, I'm Dr. Ali from the UK, as you can tell from my accent, and I'm going to take you through a case study. Now, you'll have noticed before that we've been taught a medical disclaimer. We know that we need to put that up every time, so you will learn that as well yourselves. Does anybody know where this is? Pretty close, White Cliffs of Dover. This is actually Beachy Head, which is on the South Downs along the coast from Dover. This is the third most popular suicide spot in the world after the Golden Gate Bridge and a little-known forest in Japan. And I'd like to take you back. I was 17 years old. I had just found out I'd got into medical school by the skin of my teeth. I got in clearing because somebody else couldn't take their place. And I was in the back seat of the car in the days where there were no seat belts in the back seat. I had my ex-boyfriend. We'd already split up. My ex-boyfriend, Mark, we were good friends. He was driving. His best friend was in the passenger seat. And we were going out to celebrate. And we were driving along these twisting roads on the South Downs. And I was getting a bit anxious because he was going faster and faster. So Mark was 18. He loved cars. Anybody got any 18-year-old boys who love cars? Yeah. So he was driving too fast, and he decided to race another car, and this happened. The car was rolling. When it finally came to a stop, I felt like I'd been in a tumble dryer. The other two were bleeding all over the place, so I opened the car door and got out, picked up the bits and pieces that had been thrown out of the car, and we were lucky that a passerby stopped to take us to the hospital. When we were there, they were being seen to by the nurses. I was waiting for my mum. She'd been phoned to say I was fine. But I couldn't sit in the waiting room any longer. My back hurt too much. I lay on the floor. Unfortunately, a perceptive receptionist said, I think maybe you need to be seen. Turns out that I had broken my back, not in one, but in two places. So here I was, starting medical school. Anybody here a doctor? Anybody here a nurse? Isn't it an amazing feeling to get into medical school? And you go into this amazing place, the pinnacle of science. There was me with a broken back. I foolishly didn't take a gap year at that point. And I was being taught that medicine and surgery is the answer to everything. But I couldn't sit in a lecture for more than 10 minutes. I had to lie down for every lecture, for every dance, for every party. Because painkillers and physiotherapy aren't the answer to chronic pain. Anybody realize that? So I had to use journaling, emotional work, acupuncture, a whole host of things. And this was the beginning of my journey of discovery into complementary therapies. So this is where Western medicine isn't the whole answer. We need to mix it with complementary medicine. And this is the result. So when I was at medical school, my passions were endocrinology, hormone health, and gynecology, women's health. But I couldn't stand for long enough to become a gynecologist because of my broken back. So I decided on general practice, where, as far as I could work out, it was the easiest place to practice holistic medicine within our government medical system in the UK. But then, over the years, perfectionism took over. I wanted to be the best doctor, the best mother, etc. And I burned out. Anybody relate to that? Mm-hmm. You know, professions and corporate are so built around a masculine way of being that it doesn't suit us. It doesn't suit us if we're connected to our feminine side, whether we are a man or a woman. So I burnt out. And that was when I discovered a deeper level of healing. And I used a lot of these in my recovery. I trained as a spiritual healer, among other things. And tried to integrate this into my practice, but I was still doing government health practice. I was actually disciplined by my partners in my practice for recommending probiotics to patients. After a Shine conference when Steph Jackson gave us loads of teaching. So I couldn't not. I was giving them antibiotics, for goodness sake. How could I not recommend probiotics to them? So I left in 2016, thanks to the confidence given to me by this program. So we have many mentors in life. The left-hand one is not Dr. B, because there's no photographs of her on the internet. Dr. B was a gynecologist who is a gynecologist, and she retired this year just after removing my right ovary when I had a large ovarian cyst. I was so glad she was still practicing, because she was a brilliant surgeon, a brilliant gynecologist. She taught me everything I know. She delivered my babies. I've been following her for a long time. The one on the right is Mr. Malik, a gynecologist. He died of leukemia several years ago. So, Sheila. I was talking to Dr. Bashir after my operation, and she said, I need to retire. I've got all these implant patients. You like HRT. Why don't you take them on? By which time I was a practicing bioidentical hormone and functional medicine doctor with a private practice. And so I said, yeah, sure, I'll take them on. I'll put some implants in and see if I can educate them a bit about functional medicine. So Sheila is an example. She was 61, supported by Dr. B for 30 years. And this is typical of these ladies. She's been putting these implants in them for 30 years, some of them. She had perimenopause at the age of 42. She tried patches and the Mirena, the classic way of managing menopause, and immediately felt better. But she developed skin rashes from the patches. And so 18 years ago, she started having the implants. She felt great. Energy was great. She had her estriol implant every 6 months. No blood tests. We don't check what her estriol level is. Why would we do that? And of course, occasionally she had a testosterone implant as well. And in fact, she ended up having a hysterectomy in 2015 because of an ovarian cyst and a bulky uterus. And she also had an operation last year for prolapse. But no blood tests. This is the impact of implants. They cause, wait for it, receptor resistance. Anybody heard of receptor resistance here? Yes, it's not just insulin receptors. So these implants give you such a high level of estradiol or testosterone that they cause receptor resistance and tachyphylaxis, which is a dulling of your response to it. So you get deficiency symptoms, even though you've got high circulating levels. So I've been studying with Dr. Rita Marie. It turns out there are two types of estrogen receptor. Who'd have thought it? Don't think I was taught that at medical school. And that there's a difference made by what you stimulate.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew there were three types of estrogen. I did learn that at medical school. But I didn't learn that estrone stimulates the bad receptors and estriol stimulates the good protective receptors. We didn't learn anything like that. I learned that from this lady.
Wow.
As for progesterone, we're taught in medicine that if you had a hysterectomy, you don't need any progestogen, which is the artificial progesterones they use in HRT, pharmaceuticals. So in traditional medicine and in UK medicine, nobody who's had a hysterectomy gets given any progesterone. So, the other aspect that I've learned from Dr. Rita Marie is your estrogen metabolism balanced? There are three main estrogen metabolites, which we'll learn a bit from you tomorrow if you're going to go through a Dutch test.
Yeah, we'll do Dutch.
But basically, it turns out that 4-hydroxyestrone, we want to keep really low, because if it's not detoxified, it can bind to and damage DNA. We know what damaged DNA does, don't we? It causes cancer. And what are people on HRT worried about, or should they be worried about? Breast cancer. And this is a picture of a Dutch test, just demonstrating how we interpret that. But Dr. Rita Marie will be covering that in more detail tomorrow, I believe. So back to Sheila. A quick review of the past history that we take having done functional medicine. She has a history of child abuse and depression. She's got a great relationship with her husband and a family history of DVT, which is important if you're prescribing bioidentical or any other hormone therapy. She's already got these foundations in place, stress management, pelvic floor exercises. Hydration could be improved because she's concerned about incontinence. Really big problem in menopause, especially if you've had a hysterectomy, it turns out. Strange that. Her diet is great, she thinks. Loads of gluten. But she does have fun. So these are her current symptoms, which she says are because her estradiol implant's running out. Turns out, those symptoms are also signs of progesterone deficiency. Who'd have thought it? I never heard of progesterone deficiency. So we do some lab tests. And I tell her in my email, my intention when I see you in 2 weeks is to give you an estradiol implant, and then we will come up with a plan. I thought I could give them all their first estradiol implants and then inform, educate them. Oh, dear. The target estradiol level is 200 to 600 picomoles per litre. Hers were 1,494. Whoops. And this is because Dr. B has been putting these implants in every 6 months without checking the level. Her sex hormone binding globulin, which is a protein in the bloodstream that the hormones are attached to, that's sky high because it's trying to protect the body from the estradiol. And her progesterone is really low. So this is another great tool that we have in NEPT, blood chemistry software. I'm sure you'll hear about that if you join us. Okay. And then we follow Rita Marie's guidelines in finishing up. So the results are awaited. Meanwhile, what's my vision for my practice? The main thing is the support you get from being in this program and from my besties here and over there. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. It's really, you know, I talk a lot about how, you know, the medical system is broken, and I talk, until I see something like that, right, I think I'm underestimating how broken it is, right? And that would be really malpractice to continue to give somebody estrogen like that without knowing the metabolism, right? Yeah. Ugh. Okay, Lynn, thank you for sharing that. That was awesome.
Try and follow that.
Turn her on.
And pass it. This is the special case of Zachary Johnson, and I promise I'm going to cry. So, I am not a medical doctor, all right? I just want to be clear. That's my medical disclaimer. Tell you anything from, or you are educating you on anything here, don't take it. Talk to your practitioner, because I don't know you, and I don't know if this is what you need to do. That's my medical disclaimer. So who am I? Some of you already know this. I'm sure many of you have not seen a picture like this. This is my family. I promise I won't cry. I have 7 children, 6 grandchildren so far, 3 married so far. And this is important because this is part of the journey. And I live along the Minnesota-Iowa border. This is another part of the journey that's really important. You've heard probably parts of my story. You've heard many stories here of people on how they've come to where they're at. Like many of you, I've always been that person people seek out because you knew answers to different health things that are going on. You might know about herbs and foods to eat and things like that. And along the way, I began studying back when there were just books to study from. And then I started studying online. I got my first certification from IIN, and that was okay, but I wanted more. When I had a client that I'd been teaching about the importance of water and eating greens and all that good stuff. And then she said, you know, but I have something going on with my thyroid. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll get back to you. And thankfully, I started stalking this woman. The first thing I did with her, the first thing I did was her green cleanse, and I bought some of her books. And then she started offering practitioner training. And the reason this picture is important is because it opened in January. And I'd already talked to them, and I wanted to do it. I knew I could do it. But my furnace went out. Oh. And the radiator in my car went out. Did I mention I have 7 children? And I homeschooled them. So I wasn't sure how this was going to happen. Let me tell you what I was doing at the time. I was waiting on tables at a Greasy Spoon truck stop. Oh, yeah. And I'm handing out pretty much all those things. Big, greasy, double cheeseburgers, fries, creamy coleslaw. There's your green vegetable. Always left untouched. All right? I would casually mention now and then about, we do have a salad bar, and they get a little cross-eyed. And so I had all this knowledge that I wanted to share with people, and they really didn't understand it. My family, they were pretty good at following my direction. Of course, I was the only one making the food, and there were no other alternatives. But they also knew that they had more energy than their friends. At the restaurant, I was much older than any of the other waitresses, who were basically high school kids, and guess what their green drink was? Mountain Dew. Yeah. And I come in with my pond scum, as they call it. And the reason this is all important is because it led me here. I joined, even though I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. As I mentioned, I had a large family. My husband was in nursing school. I'm waiting on tables. All the money I thought I had set aside went to take care of a furnace and a radiator in a car because I had a 30-mile drive to work because I live in the country. But it was the best thing I ever did, and that leads me to my son, Zachary. Zachary is, well, he's a male. He's 25 years old. He's 5'7", 160. He works at UPS, and he had a second job at a burger joint that also serves shakes. And to make some extra money, he would sell plasma. And that's important because last year in October, he donated plasma in the morning, and he passed out in the afternoon. All that night, he had episodes of passing out followed by throwing up afterwards. All right. Finally, in May, he sends me his blood labs because we have no idea why this is happening. So the ER doctor says, you're just dehydrated. I looked at the labs. Yes, you're dehydrated. You also had a bacterial infection, liver dysfunction, fatty liver. You might have had a viral infection, too. Oxidative stress, metabolic syndrome, and nutrient malabsorption. I said, did they even offer you antibiotics? Nope, they just told me to go home and drink water. He's a home birth, no vax, breastfed, no hospitalization boy. Very little TV, whole foods, mostly plant-based. He was in soccer, he did dance, cross country. We live in the country, big garden. Why would this happen? So, guess what mom does with all this wonderful knowledge that she's learning? I'm gonna get this. So, because it had been 9 months before, I said, let's do another battery of lab tests. And I have my own account, so I was able to order them. Of course, it was nice because it was also on sale, 50% off. First thing I noticed was his vitamin D was 26. Yeah, well, mine was 6 the year before, so guess what? He's heterozygous for the vitamin D receptor. Guess what's going to be in his plan? He also was dehydrated, and I could tell because of these different lab tests. He also needed essential fatty acids, because, I mean, look at his bilirubin. He's 25, remember this. He's not an old person. And so now we're starting to see the liver, the gallbladder. There's something going on here. I know that I genetically am predisposed to fatty liver. It appears it continues on because look at his iron and his red blood cell distribution. They did not do the whole thyroid panel, but his TSH is 4.38. This is something to look out for. You know, he had a low alkaline phosphatase, so you know he needed zinc, inflammation. I mean, look at all those markers showing. Something's going on. If he had gone to the doctor, this would not have happened. So this is the plan, because I know he's 25, and he's got a life, Mom. So I'm starting out really simple. We're giving him his vitamin D with his vitamin K2. Thank you, Eva. And some algae oil. Because he eats meat, we're focusing just on the wild-caught salmon or other fatty fish and adding more mushrooms. He says, well, I'm drinking water. Well, it wasn't enough because I went over how much he was drinking. So I said he has to drink at least 64 ounces of water each day. Energetics has these homeopathic drops. They're called rehydration drops, one drop in each liter, one dropper. Adding in his GLAs, borage oil, flax seed, hemp seeds, chia seeds, taking colostrum. He's not constipated, so that would not be aggravated. And these are the labs that we're going to be doing. And this is why. That's my other son. And this is what I do. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Kimberly is going to say a few words, and then we are going to have a little graduation ceremony. Do you mind being part of it? It's only going to take about 2 minutes, because we have four of these guys here have just finished their certification. All right, so go ahead, Kimberly.
Okay, so I actually have been a holistic health practitioner for about 28 years. Right out of high school, I went into the Colorado School of Healing Arts, live in Boulder, went to massage school, I studied herbal medicine, and I studied nutrition. That actually led me to become a home birth midwife. And I loved catching babies. That was the best job in the entire world. I loved every second of it, which was like my whole life, because babies are born at night and on weekends and holidays, and so you're always there. But I adored it until I had my own son. In 2002, I happily was pregnant, had no idea that I had underlying autoimmune disease. It was undiagnosed celiac disease and rheumatoid arthritis. Thought I had a healthy pregnancy, felt great. Didn't know that I was at high risk because of these underlying disorders that I had without a diagnosis. So 58 hours of labor, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I had something called atypical HELLP syndrome, almost died. My son almost died. I could no longer be a midwife. I was too traumatized by that event. I was sick. My son was sick, colicky, traumatized, colicky from all the antibiotics we got at the hospital. And in addition to that, the stress that was on our family affected my husband. A few months after my son was born, my husband was hospitalized with his first psychotic episode. He was in a mental institution for about 4 months, later diagnosed with bipolar with psychosis. So here I am, a new mom, no job. I'm traumatized and sick, an infant that's traumatized and sick. Husband without a job, in the hospital, and about $100,000 worth of hospital debt, and more coming because my husband was in the hospital. So it was in a huge crisis. I'm really good at crisis management, though, so I attract a lot of crisis. I got really good at crisis management, and I took care of the situation. I got a great job, not in birth. I was too traumatized to go back to that. And I couldn't be gone all night because I had an infant. I had to take care of him and my husband, who could not work or function. So I got a great job. I actually was able to stay in the field of nutrition. I worked for a commercial weight loss and nutrition company. I climbed the corporate ladder. I did very well. I had a great career, loved every second. Got to train health coaches, got to work with clients, helped thousands of people as my life went down the tubes. I was great at work. I was the best mother I could be, the little bit that I saw my child. And I continued to feel like I had to take care of everybody and take care of my now ex-husband. He never got better, so we divorced, but I still felt responsible for him. And I felt it was my job to make sure he was okay. So I continued to take care of him financially and emotionally and tried to take care of my son the best I could, and my health was totally tanking. On the outside, it looked great. I had this amazing career. I had this beautiful child. I looked healthy, and inside, I was literally dying. So I did this, although I had this dream of going back into practice myself, having a life where I'm in charge of my schedule, where I can be with my child for all the events and not miss things because I have to travel. I had this dream for years, but I was too darn scared. I was thinking it was my job to save the world and take care of my son and my ex-husband and my sisters and everybody else that ever asked me for help. And I did that for so long. I remember the pivotal moment was in 2014, and I was sitting on my porch drinking a glass of wine with my sister. Both of us are single parents trying to cope with the stresses of life as a single parent. And I remember knowing, not just thinking, but knowing, if I don't do something very soon, I'm going to die. I'm either going to die because my body can't tolerate this level of stress that I'm under and that have been for a decade, or I'm going to die because my ex-husband is going to kill me. Because unfortunately, my ex-husband was not getting care. He was off of his medications for years. He was homeless, and he was turning violent, and he started threatening myself and my son. And so at that point, I literally knew I was going to die. So I did the scariest thing I've ever done in my entire life, and I had him arrested and put in jail. And then I did the next scariest thing, which was I quit my job, and I decided that I'm going to do what I had been dreaming about for the last 10 years, which was start my own practice again. I quit the job, I put my husband in jail, I had to move because I knew when he got out of jail, he was gonna look for us. So I moved to a different town, I quit my job, I started my practice. By the grace of God, a few months later, I was listening to a summit, actually Ocean Robbins, he has a dad that did a summit, Food Revolution, Rita Marie spoke on it, I heard her. About a week later, I was enrolled in the NEPT program. Fast forward 1 year, I had a practice. I was paying all of my bills with my own practice. I didn't need the J-O-B. I had my life starting to fall into place. I still had these horrible codependent tendencies, and I had some of these issues going on, but I moved through the fears, and I started living my dream. Fast forward 1 year from that, I met Laura Fine. So it was 2016 at The Shine, I saw Laura working, and I saw her do a demonstration of her work. And when I saw her, it was kind of the same as when I heard Rita Marie. I knew that's what I want. And so I did Laura Fine's program, which was separate back then from NEPT. Now it's part of the NEPT program. And the work that I did with Laura really helped me move to the next level. I was able to really resolve the horrible dysfunction that I had and get over the codependent stuff that kept me from having the life that I wanted. So now it's 2019. I am absolutely living the vision, living the dream that I had a decade ago. I have a new husband who's wonderful. I have the best relationship. I have the amazing practice. All of my clients I adore. I'm making a difference in their world. I'm healthy again, and I get to teach with my heroes and my mentors. So I want to tell you guys that your best life is literally right on the other side of the most scariest thing you'll ever do.
Mm. Wow.
So
that's powerful.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, we say that, a lot of people say that what you want is outside of your comfort zone, and it's really uncomfortable to think of stepping outside your comfort zone. And someone that I respect recently said to me, don't talk about stepping outside your comfort zone. Talk about expanding your comfort zone, right? But sometimes we have to move through fear in order to make that bigger. And now the things that were uncomfortable, right, are quite comfortable. So I am so proud of these women and what they've done and where they've come and the obstacles they've overcome. And they all have recently completed their certifications. And as an NEPT certificate, they also get certified in IRSPT and CMDS. So they're digestive mastery coaches, insulin resistance coaches, and endocrinology practitioner coaches. So I am so excited, and I want to acknowledge the work they've done. We put a fire under their butt. I want to thank Tony. Is Tony on? Are they on there? Are they listening? I want to thank Tony for putting a fire under everybody's butt and just, you know, coaching them through. And Tony also finished hers, but she couldn't be here, but we're going to acknowledge her as well. To help, and they, with the support of each other, they created a study group, and everybody, like, got it done in the last couple months. So I'm so excited. Annette, congratulations. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to cry. Congratulations. And I don't give to Lynn because Lynn got hers last year. Yay! Janet Books. Thank you. Congratulations. Oh, wonderful. And Kimberly. Beautiful story. Congratulations.